Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Could you please introduce yourself to our audience and share what you're best known for?
I am a narrative strategy consultant and coach. They're probably the two things I'm sort of most known for. What I would say that makes me a bit different, I think, is how I'm able to bring together and integrate different disciplines to create something new. So in the kind of strategy development work, for example, I would look to bring in techniques and principles from design thinking, innovation, which really kind of helps push the boundaries of what we would explore in a kind of traditional strategy project. And in the last few years, I've started to bring much more sort of storytelling into what I do in strategy. So doing things like framing strategic questions with a storytelling framework in mind, using storytelling techniques such as metaphor, for example, to more effectively engage stakeholders in the strategy. And in my professional coaching practice, I've sort of developed a coaching approach called narrative coaching, which, again, brings together traditional coaching with personal storytelling as that kind of lens with which to kind of work with my clients to help them navigate change in their lives. I've even got a thing now going on LinkedIn that I've been doing for nearly a year called Friday Film Quote, where I take my love for movies and story and kind of share a line or a quote from the actual from a particular movie, and it's there to kind of just inspire, entertain people on a Friday afternoon. But there's always a kind of an underlying message for them to take away and kind of prompts them sort of thinking. So yeah,
well, I guess diving into kind of this first thing that you're talking about, you talk about design thinking and integrating that within kind of strategy development. Can you elaborate on how you integrate this design thinking into the traditional strategy development process? What sparked the idea to combine these two disciplines?
Yeah, I ended up doing a sort of innovation role for about 3 or 4 years, actually in between two strategy roles. And it was originally a kind of just a traditional strategy project to look at, how we could do more, how we could bring more kind of innovation, how we could leverage more innovation. And so a great thing when you start with something you don't know anything about is you ask all the kind of obvious questions or what have you. So through that kind of process, I learned about design thinking, about ideation, about doing more kind of co-creation, so bringing customers and other stakeholders into the actual kind of development process, using kind of test and learn as a mechanism for testing assumptions, So kind of as I ran this program for a number of years, and we did loads of kind of early market trials as a kind of part of that, obviously I was also part of the strategy team. So it was a strategy and innovation team. So I could see that there were ways of bringing in a lot of those kind of techniques, as I say, from design thinking, innovation, much more into the strategy kind of process. So, you do a strategy project when you're looking at a new market opportunity, we'll bring in a customer from that particular market to kind of give their feedback and actually contribute to the strategy process, basically. And the other thing I was also doing at the time was I was also the learning and development lead for the strategy and innovation team. So I was then able to identify kind of the ideation stroke design thinking type courses, which would be beneficial to kind of strategy. So the team, we all got trained on Strategizer, for example, who've got some amazing kind of tools and canvases for that type of stuff. And also IDEOU, who are a design thinking agency or an innovation agency, who developed some quite, kind of cool training all around, how you could start to bring those two things together, really.
And I guess that's kind of linked to the emotional connection that we have using kind of storytelling. Why do you think this connection is often overlooked in these traditional strategies? And how does speaking to this connection contribute to the success of a strategy?
when you talk about comms generally, people always say about, they talk about the importance of winning hearts and minds. We need a campaign, we need a strategy that wins hearts and minds. And most of what I observe, at least, are communications, are engagements, or strategies that are very good on the kind of minds side of things. So, you know, lots of data, for example, lots of, you know, kind of rhetorical arguments as to, you know, why you should invest in this. But they really lie on the hearts bit. And this is where I think storytelling comes in. It's how do you kind of make that kind of emotional connections? And there are ways that you can do it. So, you know, if you watch Dragon's Den, for example, you can see the people who have had some sort of storytelling training, because when they do their initial pitch, they're talking about their own personal story. So, you know, why they have identified that particular opportunity. They make it authentic to them. And that authenticity, we pick up a bit and we tap into it and it kind of resonates with us. And I think the reason why we probably don't do as much as it as we should, and I do think that's changing, we'll come on to that in a second, is that I think we're just obsessed with data. You know, it's all about kind of data, you know, show me the proof points, show me the metrics. And that's really important, but it's not the only part of that kind of argument. So I saw a great post on LinkedIn this week, actually, when someone was talking about story, and they used the example of the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. So if you take the book Animal Farm by George Orwell, nobody remembers all the animals in it. Nobody remembers how many different animals there were of different species. But whoever's read the story will remember it as a story, as the story of, you know, kind of, you know, it's based on, you know, I guess, the Russian Revolution from, you know, kind of the sort of late 1910s or what have you. But it's a story that kind of resonates. And that's what people remember. People always remember a story. And it's a bit like, you know, it's when you see it even in things like when you're being sold features rather than benefits. You know, you're focusing on the kind of the technical specification. I mean, I can imagine there are a lot of kind of founders out there who come from a technical background and will tell you why their new product has got these amazing widgets, but what's the story behind it? What can you do to kind of create that emotional resonance and connection with sort of people that will make all the difference? But I think it is changing. You know, there are more and more people. There's a stat I saw the other day, actually can't remember, which said how many people now have storyteller in their title. If you kind of do a search on LinkedIn, for example, somebody has developed a storytelling canvas as well, which is another great way of being able to start thinking about the world through kind of a storytelling lens. So it is happening, albeit slowly.
Instead of pitching, like you said, the specs of a certain product or kind of the specifics of a specific service, it's kind of, you've got to show how the product or service fits into the lifestyle of their target consumer. And that is taught by storytelling.
Absolutely. And it's also how you can use storytelling hooks, like metaphor. Metaphor is really powerful. You know, so I'm going to go into film mode here because I love films. But, you know, if you're trying to work out, if you want a great example of how you can use metaphor as a way of communicating something complex, if you think about the film Big with Tom Hanks from the 1980s, so, you know, little boy ends up in a man's body, you know, through kind of because of a genie, etc. And there's a really amazing scene where he goes round to this person's house and they're having dinner, and, you know, this couple have got a sort of teenage boy who's struggling with algebra. And so Tom Hanks' character, Josh, sees this and says, oh, I can help you with algebra. And he reframes algebra through the lens of American football. And all of a sudden, you see the kid just gets it straight away because he's using metaphor, you know, to sort of frame what he, you know, that kind of algebra, basically. So, yeah, I think we'll just see more of it. And so I love using metaphor. I mean, when I'm coaching, it's particularly powerful to kind of use metaphor, because someone will pick and, you know, they'll say something like, it's lit a fire in me. Yes, fire is a metaphor. Okay, so let's take fire as a metaphor and see where we can kind of go with it, basically.
For you, what would your advice be for entrepreneurs, leaders, wanting to balance the analytical aspects of market analysis with the more, you know, creative, ideation-focused storytelling part in strategy workshops?
Definitely if you're looking at a kind of particular question, you're trying to brainstorm, you're trying to look at different opportunities, to use that how might we as your sort of starter for 10, rather than how could we, how will we be successful? I think so, how might we be successful? How might we develop, a new solution that's going to do X, Y, and Z? Or how might we address this particular need of these customers? That just already is a softer framing of the question, and it invites more possibilities. I think the thing I said earlier on about put yourself in different, kind of mindsets, different characters to sort of view the same, kind of problem state or opportunity is also really helpful. Put a time constraint in a workshop around that type of thing. So say, right, you've got 5 minutes to come up with 20 ideas, something like that, right? Because everyone just goes, and it's not about quality at that point. It's about quantity. It's about, okay, just get stuff down, right? See where you can get. Also, even like bringing in props. So, I'm going to be looking to do more kind of facilitated workshops using Lego as a kind of prop, because using your hands actually gets different bits of your brain working. So if you're trying to say, for example, what's the vision for the team, or what's what we see as the kind of the big challenges and opportunities that we're facing, you put some Lego bricks, and you say, right, well, build that opportunity as a Lego model, and then talk about the Lego model. What's the story behind the Lego model? What's the metaphor within the Lego? So there's things you can do there. And then, as I say, when it comes to kind of that communication engagement bit, think about hooks, think about props that you could actually use. I did a thing where we were doing, I did a piece of work looking at designing a space strategy. So how to work with the space sector, how to use space technology, space products, space capabilities in delivering services. And the way I look to kind of get people interested, excited into the strategy was, I rewrote the whole intro to Star Wars. So I had the Star Wars music, I had the big crawl, episode 4, A New Hope. We have and it was structured along that setup, conflict resolution. So literally 3 sentences, setup, conflict resolution, 1 for each, which then summarizes the strategy. And people love it because it's making an emotional connection. Even if you didn't like Star Wars, you've never seen Star Wars, it doesn't matter, because you're seeing this space and you're seeing this big score from John Williams. It's just, inspiring. So, yeah, so that's what I would say. There's lots of little techniques you can use. But as I say, I think just think about how you create that kind of emotional connection. And that's where also authenticity is so important, because, the best stories are the ones that come from the heart. And they only come from the heart if you're being authentic, basically.
Almost moving from your advice and coaching of businesses to kind of personal professional coaching for individuals, moving to your narrative coaching, can you tell us more about this approach? Narrative coaching, what does that mean?
Narrative coaching is simply using the lens of storytelling to support people, to work with people navigating professional personal change. So it uses all the same fundamentals that professional coaching would offer you. So, safe space, non-judgmental, giving you time to think, using lots of questions, lots of, use of silence as well. So it's traditional coaching from that perspective, but it's the lens that's different. So for example, it's based on the idea that, we are basically the stories that we tell ourselves, so how we see the world is through the stories that we've created for ourselves. There's a kind of Danish existentialist philosopher called Søren Kierkegaard who said, we live life forwards, but we experience life backwards. So in other words, our memory, we create these, let's say, these stories about what's happened to us. And, those stories can become quite restrictive, particularly if you start to kind of associate yourself with being a particular character. So I'm the independent one. I'm seen by my friends, by my family as independent, or I'm the resilient one and I'm the strong one. And that can become a real burden for an individual. If you think about it, everyone thinks you're the resilient one and then you're not feeling resilient, you're having a bad time, then you feel, I can't be vulnerable because I'm the resilient one. So when I do, so narrative coaching really just uses that language of story and character as the lens through which we kind of, you know, we look at whatever it is that that individual is looking to sort of achieve. And it's based on the premise that you are the both the author and the main character of your story. So if you can control your story, you can, you know, you can control your life. You can change your life, basically. So a lot of the time when I'm with my clients, I've seen that there are stories which, or narratives from their past, which are just no longer helpful. They're holding them back. You know, they're like, you know, it's a bit like you're tethered to something, you know, and you want to move forward, but you can't because you're tethered. So you've got to cut it so you can move forward, or at least loosen it. So narrative coaching is not my thing. I can't claim credit for having invented narrative coaching. There's a whole field of therapy called narrative therapy. There is, you know, quite a few. Probably the main guy who writes about narrative coaching is a guy called David Drake, who I came across when I was doing a coaching course last year. But what I've tried to do is bring kind of practical storytelling techniques and frameworks into the coaching that I do. So, you know, I always say it's a serious but fun experience. So we deal with serious things, and that's why people come to coaching, because they're dealing with something they want sort of, they want, you know, kind of some clarity on, or some support on. But I'll do things like, for example, I would get my clients will write their own story in a Pixar Once Upon a Time type framework. They will say, once upon a time, there was there's a boy called Mauro. Every day, Mauro went to work. And the reason I do that is because it provides that bit of perspective on their memories, on their life today, that's slightly more distant. So then if you take that little bit of distance, what you're doing is twofold. First is you're kind of potentially revisiting how things actually may have been, really been, because you're based on, you're relying on your memory, and that distance just gives you a bit of, was it really quite like that? But also it allows you to sort of just kind of play with it a little bit and loosen the ties of that story, because, you know, the more we hold on to things, the harder it is to kind of let go. And, you know, if you're trying to kind of move forward with your life and you're feeling tethered to something, where you've got some unhelpful beliefs, some thoughts, unhelpful stories that are stopping you move forward, you have to start loosening them. And the way you start loosening them is to shine a light on them. And if you can do that in a slightly distant way, which is what we do with the kind of, say, the Pixar storytelling framework, then all of a sudden you kind of, you start to say, okay, I can maybe move forward with this. And then what we've done, I also do, is I work with my clients to think about their future stories, you know, and that can be real fun, because I might say, come along and tell me about your favorite film or your favorite character in a movie or something. And that's the start of the conversation, because I might say, oh, okay, well, why do you like that character? Well, I like this about them. Because, and I said, okay, well, what does that, what do you think, how does that speak to you? You know, so it could be somebody who, you know, your favorite character could be, I don't know, someone who's a hero in this movie, or is really selfless or something like that. And, you know, often that says something about who you are, or you aspire to be. So again, it's not saying that's the answer, but it is saying, okay, that's the start of a conversation. Let's sort of see where it goes, really. And then I do stuff like look at ikigai. So I bring in bits from kind of, you know, sort of Japan as well, thinking about, you know, kind of purpose and, you know, how you bring together, you know, things that you get out with things that you know that you love, with things that the world needs, and things that will make you money. So yes, I say serious but fun is how I would kind of frame it. But there is that storytelling narrative theme throughout all of it, basically.
I don't think a lot of people have thought about it as kind of in depth as you pointed out. So I think what you've said is a great starting point for people to kind of think about their narrative, their where they see themselves, where they see themselves going, and then perhaps they need a little bit more kind of help from you with more than that. So thank you for sharing that.
It's particularly valuable, I think, or impactful when you're dealing with change, because if you're, and it could be, you know, you've been made redundant, you're a stay-at-home mum who wants to go back into the workplace, you want to go into semi-retirement, because there's a sense that you know, your identity is, you know, the way you are at work is not always the same as you are at home. You know, we all play different roles depending on the context that we find ourselves in. And that's good because you can, you know, that enables you the opportunity to sort of think about what does I want that new role to be. So, yeah, so if I say the classic one is changing jobs, you know, doing something quite different, you know. I mean, you can use narrative coaching if you've just been promoted, but it's not, that's probably, you're probably dealing with things often with like imposter syndrome is a common thing that you might find there. But it is particularly, I think, effective for when you're navigating some kind of change. And you may not even know what that change is. That's the other thing. Sometimes you're clear, you've been made redundant. It's like, I've done this for the last 20 years. I now want to do that, but I kind of need some help just, you know, kind of clarifying my thinking. That's fine. Narrative coaching is good for that. But also, sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes just feel inside, instinctively, something's just not right. You know, it's like you've forgotten that you had this roaring flame inside you when you were younger, and somehow over time that's just, you know, become a little flicker. So how can we kind of reignite that? But you just know that something's not right. It's almost like an existential thing. So yeah, you can come to coaching's really can be really useful for just surfacing things that you may have forgotten, that, you know, actually I used to do this. I was really good at that. I enjoyed it. What does that mean about it in terms of what I want to do next, basically?
So quick fire question number one. Where do you go for inspiration for your day job and to feed your creative brain?
Great outdoors, basically. So nature. I love hiking. So, yeah, go out for anything from a... Oh, hang on, is that working okay? Sorry, I just had an error message. Should I do that again? Yeah, sorry. So the great outdoors, basically, going out into nature, you know, fresh air, go for a hike on my own, ideally, helps just really, you know, create space in the head. And often I bring some device to be able to record what I'm thinking, what ideas come up, because I can't necessarily remember them. I'll have loads. So yeah, just something. And if something that transcribes them, it's even easier, actually.
What was the first work thing you were really proud of?
I think it would probably be when I was 19. It was the first time I ran my mum and dad's Italian restaurant in Soho while they went away on holiday. So it was, I was on a gap year between uni, and they had a Italian restaurant, as I say, and they went on holiday and left me to run it for the first time. And then I carried on doing that until I actually got a proper job after uni. It was brilliant. Really, really good fun. Enjoyed it.
I think the last question is an odd one, but we ask it to everyone that comes on the podcast. I'll ask it. Maru, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
No, probably 7 to 8. I'm a bit quirky, very quirky, very geeky. And my film quotes would attest. And yeah, love music and play guitar and love film soundtracks as well. So yeah, what's up? 7 to 8. Be interesting to see what my kids would say. Might put me at 9 or 10, possibly.
Well, thank you so much for your time and also sharing your insights and your advice. We really appreciate it.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.